Good morning. It's good to be here today. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 12, is the background or the text for our lesson. In the heart of Sydney, Australia, there amongst all those big, tall buildings, and not far from the harbor, there's a monument with a plaque on it. And that plaque commemorates the first religious service that was held on the continent of Australia. It was a group of people that had come over from England, mostly former slaves and convicts. They had landed on the shore on January the 26th of 1788. On February the 3rd, they had erected a building on the interior just a little bit farther in, and there they assembled for that first church service. Now, what would you have done, or what would they have thought about? They were there a long way from home. They were in an unpopulated, or at least a lightly populated land. They didn't have any possessions, or at least very few, and the people that were there in Australia were wild and they were savage. What do you suppose was being talked about on that day? Well, the chaplain's name was Richard Johnson. Job wrote in chapter 5, verse 7, "Man is born to trouble." And in Psalm 13, verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Do you suppose that he selected one of those passages? You know, he very well could have. But no, he didn't. He chose the text I've already told you to turn to. In Psalm 116, verse 12, it says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Those folks didn't have much, but they were free, politically and spiritually, and they were thankful for what they had. Now, I want to change the gathering from way back yonder, I figured it up in my head, 231 years ago, to today in Warren County, Tennessee. We're in a nice building here. It's heated and it's air conditioned and we've got plenty of light. We're surrounded by our friends and our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been blessed so much more than those folks 231 years ago. So isn't it doubly as important for us to ask, "What shall I render to the Lord for His benefits toward me or toward us?" Let's spend a few moments looking at this lesson in two parts. First off, what are His benefits toward us today? From time to time, and I want to thank Russell, he sang a song for me just then, we need to count our blessings. Because you know, if we do, I think we ought to be, if we're not, we ought to be overwhelmed by what God has done for us. First, the spiritual benefits. What are the spiritual benefits that God's blessed us with? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." Spiritual blessings we ought to be so thankful for. Where do they come from? From God. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ. And we ought to be so thankful for them. The greatest of those spiritual gifts is Jesus. In John 3:16, and I can't even imagine how many times I've quoted this passage of Scripture, and I reckon y'all could probably repeat it with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life." Now, I didn't really understand that passage of Scripture until I became a parent. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I might be willing to do that for you. Okay? But I don't know that there's anyone here in this building that I would be willing to allow one of my children to die for. And yet, while Jesus was hanging there on that cross in horrible pain, His Father turned His back on Him, just for you and me, so we might have the hope of eternal life. Paul said, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Like I said, I can't imagine, but God did it. Another magnificent gift is the Bible. It's God's complete and final revelation. Peter said, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that God wants us to do is in this book, either by example or inference or command. And if we're going to do it, God will be with us. His Word directs us how to do it, and He'll stand with us. We're worshiping beings, and the Bible tells us how to worship. We have pain in our life, and the Bible introduces us to the great physician. We're sinful people. The Bible tells us how we can be saved. When we're discouraged, we can go to the Bible for courage. When we're weak, it gives us strength. When we're happy, it adds to our joy. When we're sad, it gives us hope. And when we or someone we're close to is dying, it promises us life through God's grace. Then there's the gift of salvation, a gift that carries so much with it. In Romans 6:23, Paul wrote, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son." Yeah, we're sinners, but we've been given the gift of eternal life if we live the right way. Related to salvation is the gift of the church. Jesus died to establish that church. It's God's family here on earth. And it needs to be as precious to us as it is to Jesus, who died to create it and calls it His bride on earth. To all of these things I've already looked at, we ought to consider God's great and precious promises. There's so many promises in the Bible. You know, most of the ones in the Old Testament have come or have been fulfilled in the New Testament, but there's so many more that will be fulfilled. Which is your favorite of those great promises? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His Word. Think about that passage for just a second. Everything works out to good if we live according to God's Word. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer, "For He Himself said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me?" In 1 John chapter 1, "If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." All of these wonderful promises have been given to us. You can just pick and choose your promise, but they're all yours if you remain faithful and obedient. Ultimately, the greatest gift that God has ever given to any of us is the hope of a heaven where we can be united with Him and with Jesus, where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. No more pain, for the former things have passed away. Next, His physical benefits. God's given us all these spiritual things, but He also gives us physical things. He's given us our families, our spouses or mates, our children, and our parents. If Proverb 31 reads, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And a prudent wife is from the Lord." And then Paul says, in Psalm 127, "Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Next, God gives us our necessities. He doesn't give us all our wants. You know, you might have a wish list, but no, He'll take care of you. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, said that God will give us our daily bread As he cares for the birds of the air, so he'll take care of our needs. Jesus promised that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all those necessities will be provided to us. God has given us our bodies and our health, and we ought to take care of them. We need to get the right amount of rest. We need to get the right amount of exercise. We need to eat the right kind of food. We need to take care of our bodies. As David said, that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. We wouldn't want to forget God's wonderful provision of beauty, especially as we walk around outside today. You know, I was struck as I was driving over here by myself this morning. You know, when it's cloudy outside, you don't look up so much as around. At all the flowers and how green the grass is and how the trees are coming out and how beautiful it is. You know, we look around at those trees and shrubs and flowers. We see the sun, the moon, the stars. You know, we see the animals and the plants and the birds in the air and the fish in the rivers and in the seas. And we just wonder, what did we do to deserve all of this? Paul said, "The living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them, did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave rain from heaven and fruitful seasons." So, having seen all the things that God has blessed us with, what shall we render to the Lord? Because we look around at everything he's given us, how should we respond to his generosity? Now imagine this, and it's a far-fetched illustration, if you will. Imagine tomorrow somebody comes up and knocks on your door. He said, "Hey, it might be somebody you know, but probably somebody you don't know very well. Remember, it's an illustration. I've got some things I want to do for you." And that person gives you a brand new house. Of course, you've got to move. He gives you two brand new cars. "I'm going to give you $250,000 for you to put in the bank so you can live off of it. And I'm going to pay out all your outstanding debts." Now, you know, I just have to start going down the list of all the things that I want. Of course, I don't have to move, but maybe I can sell that house. Okay? Think about how generous that is. Maybe 6 months or a year later, it's that same fella at the front door. And he says, "You know, I wrecked my car, and I wonder if I could borrow one of yours for a couple of weeks while they're repairing it." Now, what if you said to him, "Well, why didn't you take out that rider on your insurance so you'd get a free rental car for 28 days? Well, I think that would make us into a great big jerk. But it's even worse when we forget about God after all the wonderful things that he's done to us or for us. What should we render to the Lord? Our love. Our lesson is in Psalm 116. It begins with the words, "I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications." God pays attention to us, so we ought to love him. Now in the New Testament it says, "I love him because he first loved me." Love is first on the list because love will produce so many other positive attitudes. You know, when a husband and wife love one another with all their hearts, it's going to take care of all the other requirements of marriage. When we really love God, then it'll take care of itself. What shall we render to the Lord? Our thanksgiving. After the psalmist said, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" In a few verses later, he said, "I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I'll call on the name of the Lord." Paul said in Ephesians 5:20, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." How often are we supposed to thank God? It says always. For what? For all things. Not just sometimes for some things, but always for all things. You know, I heard one time General George Patton was at the front there in Europe, and he met a man that was just exhausted. And so he sent that man back to the rear so that he could get some rest. And that man took the time while he was there to write a note and send it through channels to General Patton. Patton said, "I've been in the Army for 35 years and I've never had anyone thank me like that." Benjamin Franklin said, "Just as we will account for all of our idle words, so will we for all of our idle silences." In other words, we need to be thankful. And I think James 4:17 fits in real good right here. It's one of those catch-all commandments. Okay, you're not looking at specifics here, but it really hits where, if you're paying attention, where you live. It says, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's a sin. If you know to thank God and you don't thank Him, it's a sin, if you've ever thought of it that way. What shall we render to the Lord? Our time. How do we express our love and our thanksgiving? By giving back to God what He's given to us. Now, I know that there's some of y'all that might say, "You don't know how busy I am. I'm running myself ragged. I got children to take care of. I've got parents to take care of. I've got work to take care of. I just don't have the time." Well, I'll ask you, and it's another extreme example or illustration. If you went to the doctor tomorrow morning and the doctor said, "If you don't get 30 extra minutes of rest today, you're going to die by the end of the year," would you get that rest? What if you went to your eye doctor later on this week or next week and he said, "You're straining your eyes. It's just pitiful. If you don't rest your eyes more, you're going to lose your eyesight by the end of the year"? What if you went to a parent-teacher conference, for those of y'all that have children in school? If you don't study with your children 30 minutes more a day, they're going to fail. Would you find the time to study with your children? God has given us that time. Maybe it's time for us to put our priorities in order. What shall we render to the Lord? Our abilities. God has given us wonderful talents and gifts. And matter of fact, Jesus talked about talents. We talk about it as abilities and gifts that have been given us, but it was about money way back yonder. A talent was a unit of currency. Okay, but nowadays we talk about our abilities. And you remember that story, two of them. One of them was given this and one of them was given that. And then there was that third guy. And I leave the first two alone, who, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That last guy, he took that talent out, and I always figure he buried it in his backyard because he knew that his master was a harsh taskmaster and he didn't want to get in trouble. You remember what was said about him? "Take this wicked servant and get rid of him." We've got to remember that God's given us these talents. We need to use our talents and our abilities for Him. What shall I render to the Lord? You knew I was going to get to it. Our money. In the early New Testament church, right there in Acts chapter 2, it talks about those Christians that they were happy. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And it says about them that they took their possessions and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now you might say to me, "I don't make as much money as you. Are you going to pay my light bill?" I'm looking at you. Maybe you don't have your priorities set up right. There's a sweet lady that I used to worship with in Burlington, Iowa. She's gone now. Her name was Wilma Parsons. She was on Social Security. She got one check a month. I don't know when it came. Seemed like it come around the third. She was a cigarette smoker. She told me I would go over there and when I left, my clothes would smell like cigarettes. She never did smoke, but you know, her in front of me, but it was there in the furniture. And she said, "When I get my check, when I get it passed, the first place I go is Hy-Vee, local grocery store, or Walmart. And the first thing I do is buy, I don't remember, 5 or 6 cartons of cigarettes. I've got to have my cigarettes." And she said, "Well, you know, if I have to cut back on my eating, I'll cut back on my eating." Now, I do remember, as an end to that story, on July the 4th of 2005, she gave up smoking. I was so proud of her. I always mentioned it. She said, "That was my Independence Day from cigarettes." Now, this is not about smoking cigarettes. This is about, if you don't think you have enough money, then when you get that check, you go to the bank and you cash it and you take out X amount every week or every month and you dedicate it to the Lord. And then you let the Lord worry about getting you enough food or paying for your gas or whatever as the month or the week rolls by. He will do it. He gave us our money. He gave us our ability to make money. He gave us our jobs and our good health. He deserves more than maybe we're already giving Him. What shall we render to the Lord our all? And this is a catchphrase. We need to give Him everything about ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with some of your heart, with some of your soul, and with some of your mind." Now I hope you know that that was wrong. It says all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Everything about us needs to be dedicated to the Lord. Now in our text, after asking, "What shall I render to the Lord?" The writer said, "I will pay my vows to the Lord." When you and I were baptized, when we put on Christ, just prior to that, we made the good confession. "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we accepted Him as our Lord and Master. And as our Lord and Master, we're supposed to be His servant. We're supposed to do what He expects of us. We've got to give our hearts, our souls, and our minds to Him, every bit about us. Russell's done me two favors. Pick up your book and turn to number 216. That's our invitation song. I told him, I said, "I've never heard you lead this, but you've been leading some out of left field, and I figure you probably know it. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my will, make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only." And there's that little word, "all for Thee." God has given us His best. He turned His back on His Son while Jesus was hanging there in horrible pain so that we would have the hope of an abundant life here and an eternal life in heaven. Shouldn't we give Him our best? If you're subject to the invitation, then I hope you'll come as we stand and sing.